Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 240. And our guest today on the show is Anna from North Carolina. Now, as you will know if you've listened to many episodes of The Dream Show before, and as you won't know if this is your first time listening, when we have a guest on the show, I don't know what dream they're going to bring. I know nothing about the dream at all until we press the record button. So the experience that you get is the experience of listening to the dream for the first time with me, and then hearing the questions I ask and the responses of the guest on the show and how we work together to explore the dream and come to an understanding of what the dream means and what they can take from it, what insight they can take in their life to apply and also to do a dream alchemy practice. Of course, I know this because I've just finished speaking with Anna. We've just finished recording and here I am just adding a little bit to the front of the show. Before you listen to Anna, a couple of reminders of the websites. My website is janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, where you can go to find out how to consult me, how to find out about my books, how to read hundreds of blogs, and of course also that is the place where you can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. You can also of course listen to The Dream Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically wherever you listen to your podcasts. And my other website, The Dream Academy, the actual website is dream-academy-online.com. And that's where you go to take my online courses, everything from the first course, which is how to interpret your dreams step by step, right the way through, if you choose to go the whole journey, to courses whereby you can become a professional dream therapist. But right now, let's just go straight into Anna's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Anna.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And you're from North Carolina.
Yes, I'm from North Carolina, Durham.
And I think it's sort of evening, towards evening for you at the moment.
Yes, I just finished up work, actually. and it's the morning for you?
Yes, it is, yeah. Are you working from home?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been from home since March of 2020.
Yeah, it's a long haul, isn't it? So you've sort of finished and moved into a different room to do the podcast.
Yes. Yeah, I gotta get a different mindset.
it's such a tricky transition, isn't it? Okay, so as you know, I have no idea what dream you're going to bring to the show, so it's over to you now, Anna. Tell me your dream.
Okay, so I I'll start from the beginning. And the setting is kind of like an underworld, and I know that I'm in, like, it's kind of gloomy and cloudy, and I know that there's, like, dead people walking around. They didn't look dead or scary, and I wasn't necessarily scared at all, but I knew I was, like, kind of in this underworld. And I was also in Europe, and because there were some... we were walking through some alleyways and like cobblestone streets, and I was with a group of friends that I had studied abroad with, and I don't like remember quite specifically who they were, but I knew that I was friends with them and they weren't random people. But we were all walking around and they were walking ahead of me, and I was with one friend walking behind the group. And we were all just walking, kind of exploring. And my friend was a guy who, like, I didn't recognize his face physically, but I knew that he was one of my close guy friends. And every now and then, me and my friend would kind of veer off and get lost from the group. And we would just be walking through these alleyways and, like, yeah, not scared or anything, just, like, exploring. And this guy would come up to us, and he would walk up with a bicycle. He wasn't riding the bike. He was walking with it. And the guy, I also recognized him as an old friend that I worked at camp with. Yeah. And but the guy, it wasn't exactly his face. I just, like, kind of remembered him as that in the dream. And so the guy would come up to us, and we weren't afraid of him. He was just like a stranger, and like would say, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And we would talk for a little bit, and then he would leave, and then I would find my friend group again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then that happened like 3 different times. We would be walking, not really a destination. And then, so I would get my friend and I when we were behind the group, we would veer off, and this guy would come up to us with the bike, always walking. And like the third time, we did get a little bit creeped out, like, why do you keep finding us? And and we would never have a really specific conversation. It would kind of still be like, oh, how are you doing, kind of. Okay, so then he leaves, and it's still like gloomy and like almost starts to rain, and we find the rest of my friend group at this bar. Mm-hmm. And the bar was really full of people, and we like go sit at the bar with them, and we were telling them about this guy that kept coming up to us. And then all of a sudden the bar went quiet, and the guy with the bicycle walked in. And so everyone was staring at the guy with the bicycle, and like almost in a mean kind of way, like he wasn't supposed to be there. And one of the workers at the bar like went up to the guy and was mad and like kicked him out and was like, you have to leave. And so then the waiter or the bar worker, bartender, comes back to us and is like, sorry, we just fired him from here.
Hmm.
And we were like, okay, weird. So then we like sat at the bar and hung out for a little bit. I think it was still raining, maybe. And then we leave the bar. And outside, it stopped raining. It's still gloomy out there. And just me and my guy friend, we walk across the street because across the street, there's this like big blacktop, like almost like a basketball court size, but it's blacktop. And this scene reminds me of my like sophomore year dorm hall. There's like 2 large tall buildings shaped in an L, and in the L there's a big blacktop with a basketball court. And so we were walking across the street, and everyone's heads start popping out of the windows looking down, and we were like, oh, what are they looking at? And so we walk up to the blacktop, and there's this huge, huge pole, like metal pole. And at the top of it is the guy with the bike, and he hung himself with the bicycle chain.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. and then the dream ended. And I woke up.
Wow, I love scary, but I love the idea of the 3 times and the guy, the mysterious guy with the bike keep coming in, and then the amazing ending. I've got a couple of questions just so that I'm completely clear about the dream. What was right at the beginning, you were talking about it was an underworld and it was gloomy and it was clouded. Did you say it was dead people walking around or sad people?
It was dead.
Dead. So like like zombie dead. Kind of dead?
Like, or? I mean, not zombie, like, not like physically zombies. Like, they were scary with like, gape, like, you could see their gashes and stuff. But like, they were like normal people and maybe like a little bit grayer or paler.
Mm.
But it looked like they weren't scary looking. They looked normal and everything.
You just knew they were dead.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And the other one that I wasn't sure if I was hearing correctly, at the very end when you went to the place that reminds you of your dorm hall from sophomore year, and you said it was a big Did you say a big laptop like a computer? Or did you say a big black top?
Black top, sorry.
A black top. So that's like a tent or a...
No, that's like just a big square or rectangle cement.
Okay, so like a playground, what I would call a playground.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Very rarely have these global language blocks, but that was one of them. I'd never heard of a playground called a blacktop before, so that makes sense. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. So although there were some scary elements in the dream and other parts you weren't scared, what would you say was the overall feeling for you of this dream?
Overall feeling.
Like when you woke up, did you say, oh, that was a something rather dream?
Okay. It was, yeah. When I think that was a creepy dream.
Creepy.
I wouldn't say I was really afraid or scared, but it was just like creepy.
Mm. And it creeped you out because it left you feeling...
Like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
And I've never had... Like, it was just, I've never had a dream like that. It was just so weird to see, I've never had someone commit suicide in a dream.
Yeah.
And especially the way, like, it was so normal, and then at the end, you look up and you see that.
Yes, and with the bicycle chain, yeah. So we've got a lot of, in a way, the dream starts with the notion of death because there's dead people walking around, and then it ends with a death by suicide, and in between we've got a lot happening. We're going to go into this, don't worry, it's actually, there's a lot of positivity in here once we get through the symbolism, and I think there's going to be some really good stuff for you. But when, good. when did you have the dream, Anna?
And I was trying to remember this. I had it sometime in May, I think, like early May.
Right, yeah. So a long time ago, and as we're going through a dream is processing the last 1 to 2 days before the dream. So it's processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the 1 to 2 days before. And then during that time, the dream also then reflects back on the past, so anywhere in the past it kind of resonates with what's going on at that time gets into the dream, and then the dream will also sometimes project forward, all in a symbolic sense, but will project forward, you know, these are the issues and things and experiences that I'm processing at the moment, how is this going to be for me in the future? So in a way you want to be casting your mind back to around about the time of the dream, to sort of remember what was happening for you then, and probably because of the type of you that's been, you probably have a pretty clear idea of what was, I'm not going to ask you directly, but you probably have a pretty clear idea of what was happening for you in May 2020. So we'll start there. Okay, the beginning of a dream is often sets the theme for the whole dream. Just as when you go to see a play or you watch a movie or you read a book, the opening often gives you, okay, this is the issue, this is the situation. Now, how are we going to deal with this? How is it going to play out? And your beginning is a sense that it's an underworld, it's gloomy, it's cloudy. There's a sense of dead people walking around who look quite normal. They're not scary, but they're definitely not alive.
Yeah.
So there's kind of if you translate that into a kind of emotion or a feeling, it's almost like at the time you had this dream, consciously or unconsciously, you had a feeling of perhaps feeling a bit gloomy, feeling a bit cloudy, and feeling a bit of a sense of vitality was missing, feeling a bit dead, not in the sense of actually being dead, but that you know, either a sense of loss of vitality or a sense of things being over, plowing around, trying to continue with things, but probably the same as a lot of us were feeling in May 2020.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. I mean, this was like, what, 2 or 3 months into COVID and being in lockdown and everything.
Yes.
So definitely that.
Yeah, so it does explain that. So we're going to go through the dream and work out how that affected you, what it brought up, And it has, I can see, brought up some really interesting opportunities and openings and ideas for you. So we start with that. And straight away, Anna, notice how it starts gloomy and cloudy, but there were a few points where you said it was raining or rainy in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you came out of the bar and it had stopped raining. So we know that whatever else happened, even though there was a suicide at the end, there was a sense that the clouds rained, they dispersed. Yeah. And whether or not it was a clear day at the end, like, well, I should ask you, when you looked up the pole and saw the suicide, what was the weather like, or didn't you notice?
Well, it was still cloudy.
Okay.
Like overcast, I would say.
Overcast, all right. So there's some sense in the dream that there was some raining, some letting go of cloudiness, but at the end it was back there, it was still there again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So first up, you started in this way and you realized you were in a place like Europe, because there were the alleyways and the cobblestones, and you had studied abroad yourself. So did it remind you of the place where you had actually studied?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes. And I studied in Sevilla, Spain. Mm. But I also lived there for a year after graduating college.
Oh, after. Oh, fantastic. That must have been wonderful.
Yes. Oh, I loved it.
Was it sad to come back, or were you happy to come back?
So sad to come back.
Yeah. So there's a sense here of my feeling is that you're then immediately reflecting back to your time in Europe, your time in Seville, mm-hmm. and and the friends that you had and what was happening for you then. And maybe even at that stage, that perhaps that sense of that was when I did feel more vital and alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, yeah, by the same token, like, were there also times when you were there where you did feel, perhaps even in the early days, a lack of vitality, or a sense of being in the underworld, a sense of not really a bit cloudy in your first days there, or was it great right from the beginning?
I think there are definitely some cloudy days. Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense that the dream is then saying, okay, well, you've been in this sort of situation before, even mm-hmm. in a fabulous place when you were overseas, when you were abroad, and there were down days and there were cloudy days, but look, you came through those and you got to a point where you loved it so much that you stayed an extra year and you were sad to go back home to mm-hmm. the States. So there's a kind of that reminder in the dream right at the front of being here, done this before. There's something you can maybe draw on here, which is a really positive start, isn't it?
Yes, I haven't thought about that.
So there you were with a group of friends, and although you said they were generalized friends, you couldn't actually identify them in the dream, you had a feeling they were friends that you had studied with abroad. So it's okay. The same place. But they were ahead and you were behind. How did you feel about mm-hmm. being behind them?
I was totally fine with it, because the friend that I was with was just such a good friend, and I was really excited to be with him. And it wasn't any kind of like love interest or anything. I was just like, he was just one of my really good friends. And this one trip we went on, we were very buddy-buddy, and like maybe that I was reflecting back on that.
Mm-hmm.
When you
think of him, because although his face didn't look like it in the dream, you knew it was him. But when you think of him, which three words would you use to describe his in real life personality and approach to life?
Bold, carefree, and funny.
Oh, wonderful. Bold, carefree, and funny. All positives again.
Yeah.
So we approach anyone in a dream as representing something about ourselves. So even though that means at the moment we've got to look at that scary suicide at the end, it is symbolic. It is all good at the end of the dream when we get there. But at the moment, we're looking at this guy. Your dreamy mind has plucked him out as someone that you know that is bold, carefree, funny. And at least one of those is an aspect of yourself or something that you could draw on yourself that you enjoy being with and spending time with. So because our dream looks at our conscious and our unconscious self, sometimes, I'm just giving this as an example, carefree, for example, you may think, yeah, I could generally be a carefree person. Or you may be thinking, no, I'm not really carefree. And if you were thinking, no, I'm not really carefree, your dream would be showing an unconscious aspect of yourself that is carefree that you would like to be with. So that's the way we're looking at it. We're looking at the conscious parts of yourself and the unconscious parts of yourself. But there's a part of yourself in the dream here that's going, actually, in this situation where I'm feeling that things are a bit cloudy, that I'm feeling a lack of vitality, I'm not really sure what's happening. What I can say is that I really enjoy a sense of, I'd love to be with a sense of boldness or carefree or funny, just as I enjoyed walking with him in the dream. And wouldn't it be great to have bold, carefree and funny in my life?
Yeah.
I know you're bold because you put your hand up to be a guest on the dream show.
I guess so.
Would you say you're generally bold in life?
Yes, I think now more so, definitely.
Good. And carefree?
Yes, that too.
And funny?
I think so. I don't know.
So in the dream, it was like hanging out with a soulmate, someone that you could really strongly identify with.
Oh, okay, yeah. Soulmate.
Not an actual, you know, going to find a soulmate, but a soulmate in terms of it's a part of your own soul, hanging out with a part of yourself that you feel really, really good with.
Okay, yeah.
So, although you identify with those characteristics now, Anna, probably back in May, particularly after maybe a bad day, beginning of lockdown, etc., you probably were not feeling quite so carefree, quite so bold, quite so funny, probably pretty, exactly as your dream says, gloomy and cloudy and lack of vitality about it. So at that sense of your dream, your unconscious mind at least is going, come on, you can do this, Anna. You can draw on this. You can be bold, carefree, funny. Maybe these are the characteristics that you need to pull you through. So you keep veering off, you two, from the rest of the group. So when you think of the main group of friends, both in the dream and, well, first I should ask you, in the dream, did they have a destination in mind? Where were they going to?
I don't think so. I think, like, and while we were walking around, we were kind of just walking around. But then, probably towards the end, we did have a plan to meet at this bar.
At the bar, yes.
Yeah.
For a social occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did you, when you and the guy kept veering off, was there purpose in that in the dream? Or did it just happen?
it would just happen. I think because we were so, maybe like we just got so far behind, we would lose them because we were just like talking and laughing kind of and having a good time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting that you kind of felt that you were so far behind them and yet they weren't actually going anywhere. So there was actually no real need to stay with them.
Right. Yeah.
And later on you did all end up at the chosen destination, the bar. So there was kind of room for not having a destination, for just wandering about and even more than that, for actually trailing behind and veering off. And, you know, so there's a sense here of, yeah, at that time in May 2020, maybe many of us lost a sense of destination. Are we going to the right place? Have we got the right goals in life, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, should I go somewhere else? And yet there was not a lot of room for actually making those big decisions. And
exactly, just because you couldn't and still can't really make significant plans right now or like big decisions because we just didn't know what was going to happen. with anything.
That's right. And so you've got that lovely sense in the dream, perhaps, of there is time. You don't have to be up with the crowd. You don't have to, particularly maybe because that group of friends, Anna, represented the people you studied with. There may have been a feeling there of whatever your degree was in or what goals or plans you had when you were there studying, and after you graduated, that destination may or may not have evaporated in the meantime. And there may be a sense in the dream that I don't have to necessarily keep up with that at the moment or keep that same destination. There's time and space by default. There's time and space to kind of veer around and do what makes me feel bold and carefree and funny, veer off, spend time exploring, that kind of sense.
Yeah, yes, I like that.
And so you did, and as you say, it wasn't scary, which was interesting because it shows that at the time, at least, you had your head and heart screwed on really well, because no matter what you felt, you weren't really so, there was a part of yourself that wasn't scared of veering off, of losing sense of your direction in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for the creepy guy.
Right.
He kept coming up with a bike. So, was there anything specific about the bike that you noticed?
It wasn't any fancy bike or anything. It was just a very plain, maybe old bike.
And do you ride a bike?
No, I don't ride bikes.
And you didn't when you were overseas either, when you were abroad?
I did when I was abroad, but not like regularly. It was just kind of there are little bike stations across the city that I sometimes would use to get from one point A to point B.
Okay, so your personal association with a bike is to use it simply to get from A to B, to go to a destination?
Yes.
And yet those bikes were probably a lot smarter and more modern than the bike in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Although his bike was not fancy, it was plain. Was it functional?
Well, I'm not sure. I never saw him riding it because he was always walking with it.
Did you get a feeling for why he was walking with the bike? Why he needed to have the bike with him, or why he wasn't riding on it?
Well, no, I mean, I think maybe he was riding it before, and then when he would see us, he would get off. I think he was just walking with it because so he could walk with us.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So let's possibly look at the bike as representing, for you personally, because every symbol is personal, as representing a thing, a device to get from A to B when you've got a particular destination in mind. It's quicker. Rather than walk, I'm going to get on this bike. Oh, I can pick it up there, drop it off there. I'm not attached to it. It's just a city, it's a metro bike. But when I've got a destination, I use it. Now, given that this dream is about not having a destination at the beginning or being thwarted in your destination, it's quite interesting that he's walking the bike. So he may or may not have had a destination. He may or may not have been riding that bike. But at the moment, he gets offered at least to walk with you, to spend time with you. And that is creepy.
Yeah.
But it also resonates quite strongly with the theme of the dream. It's like if a bike represented for you getting from A to B quickly to a destination that you knew, then not having a destination in the dream is like walking the bike.
Yeah.
So let's look at him a bit more, because I think you said that he was like his face was different in the dream, but it was a bit like an old friend that you worked with. Did you say that?
Yes, and it was actually like his face was similar to a guy that I worked with, and he wasn't even, I wouldn't say he was even a friend. But we would say hi to each other in public, in real life, if we saw each other. So like maybe like an acquaintance.
He wasn't creepy in real life.
No.
So what was his personality in real life?
In real life,
yeah.
He was funny, and a little bit awkward, maybe. But I didn't really know him that well.
No, you didn't know him that well. But if you were forced to think up a third word that he may not have actually been like, but you perceived him as like,
okay. Yeah,
funny, awkward, and
funny, awkward, and smart.
Smart. Okay, that's lovely. Because what's happening here is that when we dream of other people, we're obviously not dreaming of really of what's happening for them. We're not making a connection with the actual person in waking life. We're not tuning into them, but we're reflecting on what we think of that person or what we perceive of that person. So just as with your bold, carefree and funny guy friend, your dreaming mind would have gone, oh, our boldness, carefree and funny, that's what I want. Oh, that's just like him. I'll just bring him into my dream to symbolize that.
Okay.
Right, okay. Yeah. And in the same way with this guy, it's not who he actually is, it's how you perceive him. And your dreaming mind goes, yeah, actually, that's the kind of energy. Like, bring that character into my dream to describe that aspect of myself or what I'm struggling with. So and another way to describe that, Anna, is to say, you know, we can all know a certain person, but we can all see that person in a different way. So one person might see someone in positive light and someone else might see in a negative light. Someone else might see as carefree. Someone else might see as not carefree. And we all have our different perspectives of a person. So whenever we all dream about that person, we're not actually dreaming about who that person actually is, but our individual perceptions of them. Okay. So what struck me, particularly when you mentioned the personality of this creepy guy, but not creepy guy in waking life, was you started by saying he's funny. And you'd also said that the guy you were walking with was funny. So one thing they both have in common is being funny. What do you mean by funny? As in like making light of life or making people laugh? What do you mean?
Making people laugh.
Oh, good. Making people laugh. Okay. So, you know, one aspect of this dream, particularly because it starts with gloomy and cloudy and lack of vitality, maybe particularly zooming in on you with how can you tune more into your sense of not only making other people laugh, but making yourself laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Tuning into that really vital characteristic. So your dream then brings in a slightly darker side of that funny, this guy who's funny but awkward but smart.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously very smart. Because you sound smart, and you've did a degree, and you've made smart decisions. Where are you on the awkward spectrum?
It depends, I guess, on who I'm with. But I'd say I can be, I don't know, awkward spectrum. From like 1 to the least awkward, to 10 being most awkward. I mean, maybe like a 4. Sometimes I can be more awkward. I don't know. It depends.
That's
not a great answer.
No, that's all right.
That's an awkward answer.
Yeah. It's an awkward answer. I love it. See, you are funny. You do make people laugh. You're correct. You were awkward around answering whether I'm awkward. So there is some kind of awkwardness around there.
Yes.
And he was awkward / creepy in the dream.
Mm-hmm. Because we wouldn't.
You go.
Well, just because we wouldn't ever talk about anything, and I remember like doing a little awkward laugh with him and my friend, because he would just be walking with us and maybe like ask a random or say a weird random thing, and we'd just be like, "Ha ha."
Yes. So it was that feeling almost of social chit-chat gone wrong, but no deep conversation. Awkwardness around talking, around communicating. If you think of the dream, and I know this seemed a really weird question, but if you'd wanted to have a conversation with him, what kind of direction, what questions might you have asked? What subject might you have wanted to explore? What subject would have felt appropriate in the dream to go into a deep and meaningful conversation about?
Probably like, what are you doing here? What brought you here? Like, Is he traveling to right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So all those are destination questions, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
Yes. Yeah. What brought you here? Where are you traveling? Where are you going to? Mm-hmm. So there's a sense there of perhaps, particularly in the day or two before the dream, either someone asked you or you were feeling awkward about, but where am I going? Where have I come from? Where am I going to? And yet, to some extent, I maybe don't want to deeply explore this at the moment. I don't want to really go there. I just want to keep it light. Mm. But I feel a bit creeped out by this. Or maybe somebody asked you and you kind of awkwardly evaded the question.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So that's the sense there. I mean, it would have... Yeah, you go.
That I think that probably did happen because I was in. Since I was going back from North Carolina to Florida, I was in Florida at the time, and just since I have been living at home with my mom, everyone was asking like, "Oh, when are you going to move out?" or like, "Are you going to?" Go back up to New York. I don't know. It was a lot of like, what are the next steps? Where are you going? Kind of.
Yes. And you not wanting, we're not having answers and not wanting at that particular time to delve into that.
Yes.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. And the fact that it happened three times in the dream may or may not, you may not remember now, but may or may not at the time of the dream, this may have come up like three times. Three times we've gone through this and I've tried to deflect these questions.
Yeah.
And yet walking in the dream with a bold, carefree and funny, you're probably trying to summon up that energy at home with your mum in Florida. Keep tuned in to bold, carefree, funny, keep it light. But you stay cool with not having a destination. I understand this is not a time for that. I can explore, I can veer off, but I'm being asked these awkward questions and I'm feeling awkward and I'm feeling a bit creeped out by it when I'm trying to keep my mind bold and carefree and do what feels right to me. Is that the situation? Was that the situation?
Yeah, yes.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm. So one thing that dreams do is reflect back to us both our conscious position and our unconscious position. So, you know, we've got all that happening there. So let's see what happens next in the dream.
Okay.
I'm just trying to read my notes. So that's at the point where you then decide to, after the third not specific communication, you decide to go to the bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there you find you're back with your original group of friends at the bar and it's full of people.
Mm-hmm.
So what does a bar mean to you? I mean, how often do you go to a bar? What does it represent? What do you go for a bar for? I know these sound obvious questions, but for you in particular.
Yeah. Well, I don't drink that much. So whenever I go to a bar, it's mainly only for like social activities and like hanging out with friends. Yeah.
Do you ever feel, I don't drink, do you ever feel awkward about not drinking in a bar?
Uh-huh.
You do?
Yeah.
Because it's becoming more and more common as a lifestyle choice for people like you and for me and for most people I know, particularly as they get older. I know you're not as old as I am. I know you're very young, but it's a particular lifestyle choice these days to choose not to drink alcohol. But amazingly, there are a lot of people can still make you want to make you feel awkward about it, particularly actually in a bar. So I just wonder because it brings up that sense of awkward again there.
True, yeah.
Particularly because the guy walked in with the bike, Mr. Awkward walked in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to be here. I'm in a place where I'm supposed to be enjoying myself. I'm not supposed to be feeling awkward here.
Yeah, yes.
And part of yourself, because everyone in a dream represents you, the bar worker, the person in charge of this place where you're supposed to just be relaxed and having a social situation, is mad. This is the last place where I want you to feel awkward.
Yeah.
I wonder if I support it. And
wow.
Then, you fired him.
Right.
which to me was part of the positivity in the dream. It was like when you're in a dream and you maybe fire someone, get rid of them, kill them even, which is kind of what happens at the end of a dream, it's often when you're doing that to a part of yourself. I've had it. You're out of here. I don't want no more of this. Let's just drop this part of me. There's a sense in the dream of, however you actually managed it in life, Anna, there's a sense, at least in the dream, of, I'm over Mr. Awkward, Ms. Awkward. Don't want to get out of my life. I want to be able to have, I want to be able to relax in social situations. I want to, if people ask me about my destination or what are you doing with your life or where are you going or when you're going back to New York or all these things, I don't want to feel awkward about it. I want to either be able to just be light about it or be carefree about it, or I want to be able to give a deep and meaningful answer and for it to go down well. But what I don't want is to feel awkward, so I'm firing that part of myself.
Yeah.
Forget about the suicide at the end. We'll come to that.
Okay.
As I say, whether or not you woke up and applied that, there was a part of yourself in the dream, at least unconsciously, that got, you know, the solution to this is just not to feel awkward anymore. Like, it's just a decision. Just don't do it. Just stop it. But anyway, you stayed there and it was still raining. It was still gloomy. Then you, by the time you left the bar, it had stopped raining. So to me, there's a sense of, even though it was still gloomy and cloudy, there was a sense of something had rained, almost like something had cried, you know, tears had fallen, something had been let go, some cloudiness had dispersed in this thought of letting go of awkward. And then you walked across the street and you saw the black top, and it reminded you of your dorm hall. So if we go back to your dorm hall, and particularly your sophomore year, what's coming up in relation to what we've just said to you now about that time?
God. Yeah, and actually, so my sophomore year at this dorm hall, yeah, it was my sophomore year, there was a guy who committed suicide on the blacktop, and I just remembered that.
Yes. Okay, that's a definite connection with the dream.
How
did you handle that at the time, emotionally, yourself?
Oh, terribly. I was in my room, and I think alone in my room, and I was talking to my friend on the phone, and the guy jumped from the top floor, or like the roof, to the which is what, that building was like six floors high, or maybe, I don't know, it was pretty tall, until he jumped from the top to the bottom, and like, I had heard something, but didn't think anything of it until there was a lot of commotion. And like, we weren't allowed to go out into the hall, into the hallway. And our hallways were outdoors, like the L shaped facing outdoors into the, looking down onto the blacktop. But yeah, so we weren't allowed to go out, and I was just like so shocked and crying, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. That's a horrific thing to experience, especially when you're not long out of home. That's awful. How did that, at the time, looking back now, how did that affect you in the sort of weeks and months after that?
I don't really remember. Probably just like being more aware of your friends and like making sure that they're okay, and just like being more aware of mental health and everything. That's how I'm thinking about it now.
But now, yes.
Sure,
like
how I felt back then.
Did you talk about it with your friends a lot at the time?
Yes,
you did. Yeah. So you did, I'm go sure deep and meaningful. Yeah, and it didn't. It didn't change your destination in any sense in terms of what you were studying or what you wanted out of life.
No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
So there's a sense here of, as you say, like now, and you had the dream as a, you know, in 2020. When obviously mental health was top of everyone's list, whether you're suffering any mental health by May 2020, most of us were thinking, right now, how do I stay sane throughout this? What am I going to do about this? Yeah. So there was that issue, and Of course, we don't know why the guy committed suicide, do we?
No.
So
He wasn't even a student at my university. He was from a close by university, and I don't remember more of the details, but yeah.
Okay, so there was a sense of questioning mental health. So the dream may have then gone on to one possibility is the dream may have gone on to I fired this awkward aspect of myself, and then you may have been going out into the big outdoor world, into the blacktop, and I'm free to play, I'm carefree, I've fired this awkward part of myself, and that may have been the end of the dream, I sense, but some part of your dreamy mind has gone, oh no, this blacktop reminds me of, and it's gone to that kind of double ending. We're not only fire the guy in the dream, we're going to kill off the creepy guy as well, and so you bring in the similar symbolism. So there's that. Of course, the suicide of the actual student back when you were a sophomore was an end to his destination as well, and you did talk deep and meaningfully. There wasn't any avoidance of subjects there, so those are kind of some of the aspects there at the end. But in the dream, he symbolically hung himself with the bicycle chain. Tell me, what is the function of a bicycle chain apart from that? In a bike, what is the function of a bicycle chain?
it's to make it work and for the wheels to spin and for the pedals to make the wheels spin.
Yes, so that you can actually go somewhere.
Yes.
So it is not the only part of the ability to go to a destination, but it's kind of like the main driver of it, I guess. Apart from the person sitting on and pedaling,
right? Yeah. Like if without the bike chain, if you were moving the pedals, the bike wouldn't move.
That's right. Yes. Okay. That's really good. I like that. So there can be that sense of I've got a destination. I'm moving the pedals. I'm working really, really hard at this, but I'm getting nowhere because there's something missing. It would be the bike chain. So the bike chain is a necessary thing. We might have an idea and a destination, and the wish to really push on and do it, but we need something else to actually make it happen.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that at the end of the dream you use to kill off this this awkward aspect of yourself. So
right.
Which brings us back quite nicely, I guess, to the idea of you being questioned in Florida about your destination. Where are you going? I'm feeling awkward about this. I don't want this conversation. This is not a time to, it is not appropriate to answer that question now because I don't know. It's maybe also appropriate to take the bicycle chain out of the old vehicle for getting where you wanted to go and just put an end to that and you know, have a whole fresh start, maybe get a different way of a different destination in the future. I'm stumbling here because I got this picture that when you hang from your throat, and the throat is where you express yourself. So it's where, you know, instead of answering the question about, well, where's your destination? What are you going to do? It's like you're hung, you're stopped from answering it. You choose to repress that voice and not answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that aspect too, letting go of feeling awkward. And also being aware that that's it. On the one hand, you want to let go of being awkward, but on the other hand, you're aware that you may be doing that by holding back on what you want to say, rather than saying, no, actually, well, I can explain this in more words. I'm imagining, Anna, that you might say something like, I understand what you're thinking of this. Mum, whoever it was that asked you, I understand, but in a pandemic, it's actually really hard, not only really hard to make a decision like that, but it can be inappropriate to make a decision like that until we know the lie of the land, you know, what is the situation, am I going to use that famous word that everybody used far too much last year, pivot, am I going to pivot from my intended plan to another, it's too early to ask, so rather than feeling awkward and holding back, let go of that awkward part by actually going for full expression, which is what the guy didn't do in the dream the three times. So maybe even though you think mum or whoever might not be open to it or might not understand it, to at least get it out there so that you hear it and you hear it spoken. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds really spot on. Because, I mean, I kind of feel like that I have been, or when people ask me, okay, what are you doing? What are next steps? Or where are you going? Like, there is that aspect of like, I'm choked up. I don't know for sure, but I have a lot of ideas and like, maybe, yeah.
Yes. Did you notice you said choked up there?
Yes.
Yeah, choked up, just like the bicycle chain around the neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is that sense too, yeah. So maybe, you know, even though the dream was a long time ago, maybe there's also a way of, which I will help you with, of getting past the choked up and actually just being able to say that. It is okay to say, I don't know. It is okay to say, I have more than one idea. And in fact, it's absolutely brilliant to have more than one idea. And it's okay to say, at this stage, I'm cultivating the ideas and I'm not ready to take action on one until I can get a better feel for where I would fit. You know, part of you would also be questioning yourself and saying, okay, am I just pussyfooting around? Am I stopping taking an action? Is there an action I could take? Is there a decision I can take? Have I been doing this for too long? But I think you would know that.
Right.
This far away from the dream, where are you feeling on that sense now? Are you still feeling that sense of, I don't know, I've got ideas, but I'm not sure which way to go?
I've decided that I want to move to Denver now.
Good.
And a few of my friends also want to, and like we're planning to in late May, when maybe COVID is more under control and everything. So that is a good one direction that we are planning to do.
That's fantastic.
I feel more decided about that, but I also still have like a little ideas of like, if that doesn't work out with everything, then I could go do this or blah blah blah.
And that's okay, isn't it? I mean, that's perhaps one thing we've learned from all of this, is to remain open to being adaptable, to be flexible. To not hold back on taking a decision like going to Denver, thinking that it's a final decision and it can't be changed, but to go to Denver knowing this is a decision that I've made for now, and if the situation changes, I do have other ideas and that's okay. So if we were to move to a dream alchemy practice, and I'm aware that we're running short on time, but we're still going to do it. A dream alchemy practice is where you look at, having understood the dream, you look at something that you might like to change about yourself or about your life, and then you do an exercise involving symbols or the drama of the dream to reprogram your unconscious mind to really help you make that shift, make that change. So although this was some time ago, and it's possible that you've already made that change, as you say, you've decided about Denver and you're probably talking about that already, but if not, what would you say, looking at the dream, that you feel that you would really like to nudge along and shift and change a bit?
I think probably being like putting your words into actions, and like, oh, I have all these ideas, but I actually need to act on them and do something about it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that's lovely. So it's putting your words into action rather than walking the bike and not saying anything. But in order to do that, you have to let go of the awkwardness and the sense of the choking. And the sense of there only being one answer, of being allowed to be adaptable. So I think what would be, let me just have a quick think about this. Because what we need to do is work out an exercise for you to do that does that, but also brings in some element of transformation from the dream. So, okay, I've got it. We basically want that bicycle chain in the dream not to be used to choke you, but to be able to be the thing which you can use to get you where you need to be, to pedal and make it and have behind you. The almost like the, I don't know, the bicycle chains, like the wind wind beneath your wings or something like that. So, right, so what I'm going to suggest is that you start out by writing a manifesto. So you just bullet point it. Like, this isn't a great academic thing. It's something you do in, you know, 10 minutes or half an hour, and no one's going to see it, so it doesn't need to be perfect. But it's a bullet-pointed manifesto of some of the action, you say putting words into action, of some of the actions that you could take. And so by writing them down, you're putting words to those actions. So you know, number one might be move to Denver or whatever. And then you draw. Now, again, I've just drawn a bicycle chain, so it took me about 3 seconds, and I'm just filling in lots of little loops on it, and now I've finished it. So you can do anything as simple as drawing a bicycle chain like that, or you can go, you know, wild and get on the internet and get wonderful artworks of bicycle chains. It doesn't matter, but to some extent, do an artwork of a bicycle chain, and then for some of the chain, some of the links in the chain, label them according to your manifesto. So number one on your manifesto, you might link to one chain on the bicycle, number two on the manifesto to another. So what you're picturing is having this bicycle chain, and some of the loops on the bicycle chain, for lack of a better word, represent some of these points on your manifesto. Am I making sense?
Yes.
What you're doing is you're repurposing the bicycle chain in your dream from something that is choking you and stopping you from expressing yourself into something that is a symbol of the manifesto of putting your words into action.
Yeah.
Creating the artwork, having it somewhere where you see it every day for about a month, and also reading your manifesto out loud to yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror. So you're actually putting your words into the action of speaking them out loud and seeing how they make you feel. Do I feel awkward? Do I feel good? And practice it until there's no sense of awkwardness left. In fact, until you're feeling really confident. And then you will find yourself just automatically taking some of those steps, putting some of those things into action, because you would have reprogrammed the unconscious part of your mind that can feel awkward or can feel that it shouldn't express itself, can feel choked. You would have reprogrammed that into expressing itself.
Yes. Wow, I love that. Yeah. I love doing little manifestation work.
Good. I thought you might. I was thinking to myself as I was saying it, this is quite complicated compared to usual, but I have a feeling this is going to be right for you. So I'm glad it's hit home.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, thank you for being a wonderful guest on The Dream Show. And, you know, apart from exploring the dream in your personal life, I think particularly given this stage in the pandemic, I think a lot of the issues that you've brought up there will be very resonant to a lot of listeners. And in that sense, you and The Dream have given people a lot of inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jane. I really enjoyed diving into this. And I'm excited to get this little manifesto artwork going.
That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Interesting, wasn't it, to look at a dream from, you know, almost at the beginning of the pandemic and to reflect upon it at this stage where, well, we've moved on a bit, but we're still coping with some of the deep and difficult decisions, particularly around what to do and where to move and what ideas to take forward with us from here. And it's really a lovely illustration of how our dreams can actually help us to see positivity, to feel comfortable about making good steps, and to see where we need help in releasing into maybe slightly different ways of approaching life or making slightly different decisions to those we might otherwise have had. And just before going, I was reflecting on this just a couple of days ago, the fact that many clients that I speak to around the world, of course, I used to work mostly by phone or by Skype. And I've noticed that since we've all become quite used to using Zoom, like it or not, that more and more people are opting to do their consultations with me by Zoom. And it does add that extra intimacy to be able to talk about dreams and actually look at each other and make that connection as well, although I still do offer by phone for people who prefer to go by phone. And the other thing that occurred to me that I thought I'd add into the end of this podcast today is that I keep hearing people say to me recently, or I've had a number of clients recently say to me, when I have a dream, I wake up and I think, now, what would Jane Teresa say? What would she ask me? What questions would she ask me? And they say, when I apply those questions, I begin to get some insight into the dream. So the reason I'm mentioning that now is that a lot of people do use this resource, The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, all these podcasts, to listen through and really get the feel for what kind of questions I do ask, and then finding that you automatically gain the skills of asking yourself those same questions. Of course, if you want to go deeper and really get to the guts of understanding how to explore your dreams and how to understand them, and therefore how to get greater insight about yourself, to know yourself more deeply so that you make really great decisions and get great places in your life, then you may want to look at doing the courses. So again, the place to go for that is dream-academy-online.com. And join everyone else. We've got students from literally all over the world. It's just amazing and lovely to see people in there and learning and getting so much from that resource. Our next episode of The Dream Show, episode 241, is due out on the 25th of March, 2021. Well, that's in Australia. For most of you listening in, that will be the 24th of March, because we're a day ahead of you. And thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful month. I know I'm speaking to some of you between now and then, and I'll speak to you then. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.